Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban three fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Sergey Bobovka.
Ground beef.
Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on new porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany?
Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot.
I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot.
You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck and pull a truck, hug him up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to String Cheese.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air if you're a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let them know
where mama at.
Boston, we're coming for that ass.
The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hockman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Well, this is confusing to me. So Jimmy is off today. Jimmy picks the music. And so I thought I was going to get a whole bunch of Solana stuff, but this is almost from like my era of college. What is going on here, Solana?
I'm petitioning to regain control of the music selection on the show, taking advantage of Jimmy's bum ass not being here. And I figured I'd open up with something that you would enjoy. And it's not like a big time banger. I mean, this is a deep cut. I did a little research before the show, Hawk.
I mean, this is something I would have played on WVUM 90.5 FM at the University of Miami radio station.
And by research, I just looked up old music Big O sent me before his shows.
Crowder is off today. If you were listening last week, you know that. He's got some spring break duties this week. He'll be here this week. He's not going to be here today. I know he's not going to be here on Thursday as well. Jimmy is off today, so it's me and Solana. And Solana is going to flex some music creativity just based on that first song. I'm excited to see what comes next. Now you've piqued my interest. I was bored for today's show. Now you've piqued my interest.
Oh man,
it was a weird weekend of sports because the Heat got, I mean, obliterated by the Pelicans, and then they come out last night and they absolutely obliterate the Cavs. And then over the weekend, the Panthers, they lost to the Rangers in the shootout. But they were leading most of that game, and then they took the lead with about 2.5 or 3 minutes to go, and Rangers came back and tied it and won it in a shootout. That was a bummer. By the way, the Panthers were in Philadelphia yesterday. It was fortuitous timing. Yesterday was National Cheesesteak Day.
It was.
Now, I may have stumbled into something that is more divisive than boneless wings. I tweeted out, and I've tweeted this out before, but never on National Cheesesteak Day, a picture of a cheesesteak slathered in ketchup. And I said, I'm just alerting the world, because it's National Cheesesteak Day, that cheesesteaks are meant to be slathered in ketchup. Now, just understand where I'm coming from on this. My wife is from Philadelphia. She's the one who taught me this. We were at Jim's Steaks. Now, this is years ago, so we got married in 97. This is probably 1996 or 1997. I'm in Philly. We go to Jim's Steaks. They have the Cheese Whiz. And the picture that I put up yesterday, it was not Cheese Whiz, but that's not the way that they served them. It was Chickies and Pete's, which is a Philadelphia place, but it was at the Panthers game. Remember for a couple seasons, they had a Chickies and Pete's?
Yeah, the good old days.
119. I can actually remember the section. Because I don't think you can get a cheesesteak at the Panthers games anymore. The only time you used to be able to get them was when Chickies and Pete's had that little store.
You wouldn't be able to name me who the manager was or the coach was, but you could name me that year.
That is correct. Section 119.
Correct.
And yeah, it was Chickies and Pete's. And unless the coach was named Chicky or Pete, no, I cannot. But my wife taught me back then that it's okay, not only okay, it's encouraged to put ketchup on the cheesesteak. And so I would get a cheesesteak at Jim's or Geno's, Pat's, wherever you go in Philly. Get the Whiz. And then, you know, the little squirting, the red squirter. Mm-hmm. Didn't we talk about this the other day?
So good. When the ketchup comes out of the squirt bottle.
Oh, we were talking about Flanagan's. Flanagan's right. Barbecue sauce is in that little squirter.
Yeah.
So the red ketchup in the squirter onto a cheesesteak. A cheesesteak is meant to have ketchup on it. Period. End of story. And I mean, talk about getting obliterated. People were coming at me left and right. Here's an interesting thing that I wasn't aware of. Now, you know how I feel about sprinkles on ice cream,
right,
or cake. It's not for adults.
Mm-hmm.
Sprinkles are not for adults. They are literally made for children. They're waxy, and it's just because they're cute. You get to dump them on an ice cream. They're rainbow colored. But a bunch of people came at me with ketchup is for children.
What?
Now, I wasn't aware this is a common take, but it's common enough that I got it numerous times on Twitter yesterday. Ketchup is for children. How old are you? 6. Now, I don't subscribe to that, obviously, because I like ketchup. But that apparently is some sort of prevailing notion. Did you know that?
I was not aware that ketchup was for kids. That's just dumb. I got to be honest. That's just a dumb take. I'm with you. I love sprinkles, and I happen to think you're wrong about sprinkles, but I can understand where you say, hey, the only people who like sprinkles are children.
Not that I only like them, because a lot of adults have them. The only people who should like them, because they don't add, they add texture. So
yeah,
if you need texture to your ice cream, but I would submit to you, if you need texture to your ice cream, you don't like ice cream. There's no flavor in a sprinkle. It's wax. There's flavor in ketchup. Now, I understand it's mostly sugar, but so what? There's flavor. So I didn't know that it was a thing, though, to say, oh, you like ketchup, you're a child.
So only children can eat ketchup? No, come on. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It is.
But I got it from all sides. Clay Ferrero is one of the people who took me to task over the ketchup on a cheesesteak. He's going to join us today. He is also very annoyed at Mike Greenberg. Greeny has suggested that UConn could be in the NBA play-in tournament right now.
I did see Clay's tweet, and I agree. He is very, very annoyed with Mike Greenberg.
Yeah, yeah, very, very annoyed. Speaking of the tournament and college basketball, Dusty May from FAU is heading to Michigan, taking Juwan Howard's place as the head coach. That is quite an upgrade. I applaud Dusty May. Obviously, they went out in the first round this year, but man, what a two-year run for FAU to be in the tournament both years, Final Four 1 year, and now Dusty May finds himself as the head coach at Michigan. Wow.
Dude had more winning seasons at FAU, 6. All 6 years he was there than the school had in its first 25 years of Division I play before he arrived.
Wild. Wild. And the NFL league meetings, they're going on in Orlando. Mike McDaniel spoke with the media today. There's some interesting stuff in there. He says they did make an offer to Odell Beckham. But he also said, you know, he'll have plenty of offers. He's got a lot of options. I didn't come away very optimistic that OBJ was coming to the Dolphins. But there's a lot going on at these meetings. One of them is the hip drop tackle. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I'm confused with what the hip drop tackle is, but Javon Holland.
It looks like a tackle to me. I'm having a difficult time understanding what exactly they're outlawing, and that, you know, obviously I don't have a trained eye, so I don't know. The way that I look at what they sent out, that looks like, you know, 40% of the tackles to me.
So you can't grab somebody by the hip? Is that what the deal is now?
You can't drag them down hip first, I guess. Huh. So, but I there has to be math to it. What I think is a hip tackle or a hip drop tackle, they wouldn't outlaw it if that was 50% of the tackles. You'd literally be changing the game.
Right.
So I have to imagine they do their research. Maybe it only accounts for 4% of the tackles. Like, it wouldn't make, if it was more than that, it just wouldn't make sense, because you literally would be changing the entire way the defense is played, the way people are tackled.
Javon Holland is very upset with this. I don't know if you saw the tweet, but he basically said breaking NFL outlaws tackling. They have banned tackling. So
now we felt this way, you know, when you couldn't launch yourself at a player. We've felt this way numerous times, and obviously the offenses do get more potent when this happens, and you know it with, you know, the roughing the passer penalties, where, you know, or even the slide versus the scramble. Now you've got the fake slide, and that accounts for more yards because the defender has to pull up. So there are changes. We've lived through them before. This one struck me as particularly odd because I thought many tackles are the hip drop, but I have to believe that they're not as many as we think they are, because I don't think that they would outlaw it if they were. So anyway, we'll talk about what Mike McDaniel had to say to the media today. He's keeping the play calling duties. I don't know if that was a thought where, you know, hey, maybe he shouldn't. I don't know why, but I saw Adam Beasley, ProFootballNetwork.com, wrote, despite some questions about whether McDaniel has too much on his plate on game days, the Dolphins' third-year coach said at the NFL's annual meeting here Monday that he intends to again call plays in 2024. Here's McDaniel's explanation on how he arrived at that decision. I've thought about it long and hard. I think one of the things that we've done this offseason is really leaned into the facilitation of full communication and development of our staffs in all three phases. I think from the play calling perspective, for now in the spring, I'm going to call plays, and I plan on doing it in the fall, but we will always adjust if necessary. But as long as you're okay with me calling plays, I'm going to call plays. Beasley writes, if McDaniel ever does decide to surrender play calling, there are two obvious internal candidates to take over those duties. Frank Smith, who officially holds the OC title, or Daryl Bevel, who has 15 years of OC experience in the NFL. And Beasley also points out, on the surface, it's certainly peculiar to think McDaniel should give up that responsibility after finishing first in yards per carry and second in scoring, and second in yards per play, and second in yards per pass. But, as Beasley points out, the Dolphins' offense disappeared at the most important time. Miami scored just 62 points in its final four games, including the playoffs. So that, for me, would be the only valid argument for him to give up the play calling, is when it's crunch time and you've needed him to call offenses that generate points, he's been unable to do so. But I'm happy with him calling the plays because that's his wheelhouse.
We never had any issues with him calling the plays through the first 10, 12 weeks of the season. It's when the offense looked inept towards the end of the year where we're like, hey, why is this guy handling coaching duties and calling plays? But when I read the quote today, Hawk, quote, thought about it long and hard. I'm going to call plays, and I plan on doing it in the fall. Over under on how long he thought about this, in my mind, is like 10 seconds. He thought about it for a second, and he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to call plays again next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's his wheelhouse. My guess is if he's not doing that, then he's kind of giving the Dolphins short shrift. Like, he's here because of that.
Right.
And so I'm happy he's calling plays, but there is that concern of, okay, we're in situations here. we need significant points, or we need like a humming offense right now. And that didn't materialize when they needed it to most. So hopefully that gets corrected. Anyway, those are some of the things that we'll talk about today. Let's begin with headlines and Alejandro Solana, who's got the play calling duties, the headline duties, and the music duties today.
Yes, sir.
A lot on one person's plate.
Yeah, yeah. I'll probably struggle with it all show long, I'm sure. Just like
we're
McDaniel
hoping you can handle
did. It. Just like McDaniel struggled with it in the latter stages of the season. This sports update is driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store, Palmetto Ford? We know trucks. Something else McDaniel touched on today, there's no timeline for Bradley Chubb or Jalen Phillips' return. He said he's encouraged by the progress they're making. He also said that he wanted them to take a week off of rehab because they've just been killing it too much at rehab. And then regarding Tua Tagovailoa, OTAs begin April 15th. He expects him, despite the contract negotiations ongoing, he expects him to be at OTAs.
How about we get a contract done?
I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
I mean, that's insane to me. That's insane to me. After the season he had last season, and everybody's got their contracts now, and quarterbacks have changed teams. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I don't think they're in any rush. Based on what he said, based on what Chris Greer said, I don't think they're in any rush to get this done, Hawk. Zero
Weird
rush.
Weird.
So I know you mentioned the Heat went 1-1 over the weekend. Man, you want to talk about two moods that you can possibly be in, the complete opposite end of each spectrum, leaving that building Friday night to sit in ultra traffic and a torrential downpour after the Heat.
What a disaster that Friday night had to have been for you. That had to be one of the worst nights ever for you.
It took me 45 minutes to get from the Kaseya Center's innards, so the parking lot, to North Miami Avenue. Hawk, that's three blocks away. It took me 45 minutes. There was just nowhere to
go. They cleared out Ultra, so then everybody just started walking, and then the rain didn't let up, so everything was underwater. And then you're leaving that game where you literally felt like, this is not even a play-in team.
Yeah.
Like, this team just, like, this isn't, they're not good.
Right. But then I left yesterday from the Kaseya Center. This time I took the train. Very wise decision by me.
Good,
the whole train ride, I'm canceling any sort of trip ideas I had in my head in May or June because this team's going back to the NBA Finals. There's no doubt about it.
You were leaving the first week of May after the Pelicans game.
Nah, yesterday was crazy. Spo just tormenting the Cleveland Cavaliers with a lineup. I mean, Cleveland can't score the basketball. They had, I think, 42 points at halftime. They can't score.
You know what points they did have? The first points.
Yeah. Sorry, bro. Sorry. Sorry. The things you texted me about Patty Mills. I mean, oof. We actually ended up playing kind of good yesterday. But so you're sticking with this,
didn't
huh?
Whoever play good yesterday should be waived.
You're sticking with this first and last score.
Oh, I bet. Feel so alive. I finally cashed one of those. I think it was the Pelicans game. I finally cashed one. I'm 1-for-4 on the first and last score of a game.
25%. That's not bad.
I mean, if I was a baseball player,
uh-huh,
pretty good contract. By the way, a bunch of people texting in, I appreciate this, what the hip drop is. I thought this definition or this text was the best. Hip drop, when the defender grabs an opponent and instantly drops his own weight in order to take down an opponent. For reference, that's how Devon Achan got hurt against the Giants. It's grabbing and jumping down most time on the offensive player's legs.
Yeah, but B's posted a video montage that the NFL put together.
Right, that's the one that confused me because it looked like tackles.
It's just a tackle. It doesn't look, I mean, they're grabbing by the waist, but it doesn't look like it's anything dirty. It doesn't look like it's anything that leads to injury. It's just it's a tackle.
Well, obviously, led to Achan's injury.
Right, but then what are they supposed to do? Spear players' legs? That's going to lead to more ACLs and more broken tibias.
I don't know. It's another reason that I gave up linebacker.
Only we had a former NFL player to give us his expert analysis.
Oh, Clay will join us in the next segment.
Perfect. Awesome. So the Miami Heat, they're a half game back of the Pacers. The Pacers were in L.A. yesterday, and LeBron and his Lakers team had like a 20-point lead, and they blew it, but they ended up holding on. Final score of that one, Hawk, was 150 to 145. Couldn't believe what I was watching.
That kind of game.
Takes the Heat three games to score 150 points, and I saw the Lakers score 150 last night. So Miami's half game back of the Pacers for the sixth spot. They host the Warriors tomorrow at 7:30.
Somebody suggests you could have kayaked home.
Hilarious. The Panthers go 1-1 over the weekend, as you mentioned. Reinhardt scored two goals in the win yesterday, totaling 50 goals on the season, became just second player in Panthers history to score 50 goals in a season. Do you know who was the first to do that?
And it was Pavel Bure.
Pavel Bure did it twice.
No, Pavel. Pavel Bure, the Russian rocket.
Yeah. The Cats and the Heat both have 11 games remaining on their schedule. Big one tonight, by the way, at the Amerant Bank Arena. Tomorrow night, I should say. They host Boston, 7 p.m. They're tied, 97 points each. But the Cats have a game in hand over the bum Bruins. Los Modelins end spring training with a victory over the Mets, 5-1. Opening day is Thursday versus the Piratas. Four-game series.
You know what that means.
For 10 p.m. I sure do.
What does it mean?
I cannot wait. Take me out to the ball games all day Thursday, baby.
That's right.
Let's go. Inter Miami was blown out by the Red Bulls Saturday, 4-0. Nobody played. That was a torrential downpour as well in New York. They're off until Saturday. And Shohei Ohtani will address the media today. I don't know if he already did or not, Hawk, but
I haven't seen anything on it yet, so I'm imagining he hasn't.
I figured it'd be a little later since they're out in the West Coast.
Right.
But he's supposed
to 11:30 there.
Yeah, he's supposed to address the media today for the first time since the dismissal of his interpreter and friend, Ipe Mizuhara. What's your feel with this? Like, is he just going to say a statement? He's just going to read a statement that'll be translated for him? There's no way he's going to answer questions, right? It's too risky.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I have so little interest in it because I enjoy gambling, and $4.5 million in losses to a guy worth hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. I said this on the air. If he spent $4.5 million on an apartment, God bless him. And if he spent $4.5 million on a yacht, God bless him. And if he spent $4.5 million setting his friend up to start a business, God bless him. I don't care what he does with his money. If he bet on baseball, it's one thing. I don't believe, I mean, what he says is that he wasn't betting. I do believe that his friend, this interpreter, has been his friend for years. I do believe that if his friend came to him and said, I've got significant gambling debts, can you help me out? I don't have any reason not to believe he said, yeah, okay.
Right.
Is there some fluidity in that part of the story where maybe Shohei says, he didn't tell me it was $4.5 million. He told me he had some significant losses. Could I cover it? And I said, what are we talking about here? And he said, somewhere in the neighborhood of a mil. And I said, okay, but no more. Like, I don't know what the nuance is, but I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy. I'm not that way in anything. And so whether it was Shohei gambling himself or his friend gambling and he covered the debts, I don't care. It's no sweat off Shohei's back. He doesn't have to rent out his mansion now to try to make, you know, his monthly lease. Like, it just, so it doesn't matter to me. If he bet on baseball, and that's what Pete Rose has been banned for life for, different story. But until I find that out, don't care.
Right. That's how I feel, too. Like, who cares if he was gambling on other sports, if him and his interpreter were whatever, do it. But the problem then comes with, hey, they were doing it in a state where it's illegal, first and foremost.
Right, and they were doing it with an illegal bookmaker, not even a valid site. Like, I get it. There's some issues with it, but I don't care.
And it is fair for people to assume, now that the interpreter has gone back on his word, and there's been two different...
interpreter didn't go back on his word.
Yeah, of course he did. He did. After Shohei's attorneys went back on the initial statement that they had released, now the interpreter has gone silent, and he went back on his word as well, saying that, what type of bets he was making and things of that nature. Yeah, he did go back on his word.
No, but he didn't implicate Shohei as
Correct.
The guy who was gambling.
Correct. Yeah. All right, well, he's supposed to address the media today, so... Sure, we'll find out a little bit later. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7, 866-954-MORE. Cloudy today in South Florida. It's around 80 degrees. That is your weather.
All right, we'll talk a little sports with and cheesesteaks with Clay Ferrero next.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Boca represent.
Hawk and Crowder.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Clay Ferrero is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. By the way, our Dave & Buster's gift card giveaway is back. We have a $250 gift card that you could win. You can go there and watch the tournament or the NBA playoffs when they roll around, NHL playoffs. Always a good time at Dave & Buster's in Hollywood. If you want to enter to win the $250 gift card, go to WQAM.com, click on contests, and you can register right there. Someone's got to win. Might as well be you. Ridiculous. You let other people win all the time. Enter the damn contest. WQAM.com, click on contest. You can enter for the Dave & Buster's gift card right there. Clay Ferrero, sports anchor and reporter at Local 10 here in Miami. He is fed up. He is angry. Who are you angrier at, Clay? Me for my cheesesteaks take yesterday or Mike Greenberg for his take on UNC today?
Well, I'm not angry at you for your cheesesteak take. I pity you. I feel sorry for you. It's pretty terrible. If you have to slather a cheesesteak in ketchup, it's because you clearly have an inferior cheesesteak. And at this point, I'm not even angry at Mike Greenberg anymore. I'm almost like, I don't know if angry is the right word, but frustrated with people who still continue to watch these shows and take seriously the things that these guys say that it has to be for attention, right? It has to be. I mean, look at the list. So for those that missed it, Mike Greenberg said that UConn would make one of the NBA play-in tournaments. Have you seen the teams that would currently be in the play-in tournament? Like, you think they're going to beat the Lakers? You think they're going to beat the Dallas Mavericks? Like, really, this is who people are taking seriously these days. So I don't. It's not that I'm angry. It's more like, how, why? And as far as your cheesesteak take, I feel like I need to take you to a decent cheesesteak place.
That's in Philadelphia. Let me give you the background here. So yesterday was National Cheesesteak Day, and I sent out a picture on Twitter of a Chickies and Pete's cheesesteak, which happened to be bought at Chickies and Pete's. Remember when they had the one at the Panthers Arena? They had a Chickies and Pete's there. But that is a Philadelphia chain. And I've told Solana and Crowder this before. My wife is from Philadelphia. We got married in 1997, and it was probably 96 or 97 in Philadelphia at Jim Steaks on South Street, where my wife said, "Do you know that you put ketchup on a cheesesteak?" And I didn't know this. The only cheesesteaks I'd ever had, you know, would be Miami Subs or, you know, whatever, a Florida version of a Philly cheesesteak. And we were on South Street, and she said, "No, you absolutely put ketchup on a cheesesteak." She's a Philadelphian, and that's why. And by the way, now that I've had it for 20 plus years, that is the superior way to eat a cheesesteak. You should have it with Cheese Whiz and ketchup. I'm sorry. I refuse to apologize. And I refuse to take your pity.
You don't need to take it. You're still getting it.
I mean, no. I refuse it. I refuse your pity. You have to give it to someone else. I refuse your pity.
This feels like an I'm rubber, you're glue situation. Look, here's my thing. If you're slathering ketchup on something, and look, you have to look at the picture that Hawk posted. He dumped an entire bottle of Heinz on this thing, okay? It's not like you're just drizzling it on there to enhance flavor. You are masking flavor when you're dumping that much ketchup on something.
It's adding to the flavor.
A Philly cheesesteak, the flavor comes from the meat, the seasoning on said meat, the cheese, perhaps the whiz, if you're using the cheese whiz, whatever other cheese, the provolone, white cheddar, whatever it is, and then onions, peppers, like you enhance the flavor of the meat with all that stuff. You don't just dump a bottle of ketchup on it, because then you're eating chewy ketchup. That's what you're doing. You're eating chewy ketchup, Hawk.
Yeah, disagree. Now, one of the things I told Solana is what I was surprised to find out on Twitter, the response yesterday was heated. A lot of people suggest that ketchup is only for children. Now, do you subscribe to that thought?
No, I like ketchup as a condiment, you know, to enhance the flavor of French fries, for burgers. But cheesesteak is just much, much different. It's more the what you're putting it on and using it to enhance flavor as opposed to just masking it entirely.
Clay, I'm kind of in the middle here because I don't have an issue with putting ketchup on cheesesteaks. I do agree with you, though. The amount of ketchup Hawk used was just ridiculous. I mean, you shouldn't use that much ketchup ever for anything. But what's the difference between putting ketchup on a burger? You just said you'll put it on a burger. And putting it on a cheesesteak, it's the exact same meal. They're just prepared differently, and they go on a different bread. I mean, there's no difference.
It's not the same meal. It's a different cut of beef, for one thing. I mean, so let's start that. I mean, it's like you wouldn't put ketchup on steak in general, right? I mean, this is, and again,
Patrick Mahomes
steak,
does.
Okay, well, that's just because somebody else does. If Patrick Mahomes jumped off the building, would
I'm
you
just
do
saying.
It, Hawk?
I would not put ketchup on steak. No, I would not.
Okay, so it's two different meals. But secondly, here. If you tell me that you're just drizzling a little bit of ketchup on a cheesesteak, I'd be like, okay, all right, like that's not as egregious as what you're suggesting. So I guess maybe I'm Solana, I'm with you. Okay, so like I'm gonna do the Solana thing. Solana, I'm with you, but that's what Solana says. He always tells people when he's gonna disagree with them.
He doesn't wanna. He couches it just a little bit.
In other words, he's not with you.
Now, I believe in going 100% on anything that you do, and that's why I don't drizzle the ketchup. I like to go full throttle, full bore on anything I do, Clay.
But it's enhancing the flavor. It's not masking the flavor. There's a big difference in this. So you put, I can't think of an example at this point, but like if you dump a condiment on something, There's a saturation point where you're ruining the flavor of what you're eating. That's what I'm arguing.
Right, but I did not achieve that during that particular cheesesteak on the one that's pictured. I'm with you. At certain times, I love salad dressing. Salad dressing. At certain times, at some point, the salad is too drenched in the dressing and they've overdone it. But I did not achieve that feat during the pictured cheesesteak.
Okay, now salad dressing, I would actually eat like a bowl of ranch dressing with just like a few pieces of lettuce. So that's a different discussion.
Mm. Yeah, I don't like when it's swimming like that. That's a little too much.
Okay.
Anyway.
No. I feel like we've solved a lot of problems today.
I do feel like we've solved a lot of problems. Let me talk about the Heat here for a second, because how do
we
you parse the Heat versus the Pelicans a few nights ago versus the Heat and the Cavs that we saw last night? How do you make that work in your head?
I mean, it's the NBA, and Spo says it all the time. It's a make or miss league. I also think the defensive intensity was a bit better last night. And I think the other problem is when you don't have your shooters and you get into a game like the Heat had against the Pelicans where, everything is kind of magnified and the pressure's on the shooters and the shooters aren't great to begin with, then they start to press a little bit. You know what I mean? So I think that's a big part of all of this is, you're going up against a team, you don't have your shooters and so they start missing and that becomes a little bit contagious. Whereas when you're taking on a team like Cleveland, who is a similar caliber team, even without Donovan Mitchell, maybe not quite as good, but similar caliber, but you get out, you're getting stops, you're out and running, and everybody's hitting, then all of a sudden that also becomes magnified. What they're missing right now without Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, and Kevin Love is a player that when things bog down a little bit, you're able to rely on them to hit a three-pointer and get things back straight. And so when you get involved in games like they did against the Pelicans the other night, it just keeps compounding upon itself and you end up there. So I think the one thing that, if you're going to try to take anything out of this for this team, I'm not going to say that they're like incapable of going on any sort of run, but I do think that they need their shooters if they're going to make a similar run to last year. Right now, they just don't have them.
Clay, right now, the Heat are half game back of the Pacers for the sixth spot, 11 games remaining, 7 of those are at home. What does your gut tell you? Where do the Heat finish in the playoff standings? Will they be a 6th seed or better, still a possibility, or will they be in that play-in tournament and have to play themselves into a playoff spot?
I mean, if I were Otani's interpreter and I were betting on this, sorry, I'd probably say they end up in that 7-8 game. But I don't know with this team. I really don't. And I also think you look at the schedule coming up, there are two big swing games. It's the game against Philadelphia and the game against the Pacers that, both games, if I'm not mistaken, obviously if you beat Philly, you clearly own the tiebreaker there. If you win at Indy, you're going to own the tiebreaker there. And those games could both loom very large. The Indy game is in Indianapolis. So if I had to bet right now, I'd probably say in that 7-8 game. And yet at the same time, looking at the schedule, if they start to get right, there is absolutely a way that they finish in that 6th spot. So I'm not ruling that out, but I also think if you're being honest about who this team is right now and what they've got left and the fact that we just don't know when Tyler Hero is going to be back or if, I'd probably lean towards that 7-8.
Speaking of schedules, the Marlins open their season on Thursday. You excited? I'm kind of getting excited about this rotation. I'm not going to lie.
Well, assuming if guys are healthy, I think that's...
Well, I mean, it's going to be a while before, like, Yuri Perez is not going to start the season active, and obviously Sandy as well, but there's still some good pitching in the rotation, and when those guys are back and healthy, look out.
Yeah, and I like this group. I also think the Jazz Chisholm interview is going to add a little bit of an element to this. It's one of those deals where it could go away very, very quickly, and Jazz could... end up on the other side of this thing and look like, I think he said in that interview with the Pivot with Channing that he wants to be a leader. Well, hey, you go out there and they're winning, then I think he becomes a leader. And I think he becomes one of the faces of baseball. He's just got that personality that even if you disagree with things he said, you don't like them being aired out in public. Well, hey, they're out there now. And then there's a flip side of this. And so I think the Marlins are now somewhat interesting, at least from a storyline perspective, where if they win, hey, great. If they lose, then people are going to start to go back to that interview with Jazz and be like, okay, well, what now? Whose fault is it now? So I think between the rotation, hopefully getting healthy, and some of these guys that they've got, can Luis Arraez replicate what we saw last year? There are a lot of interesting storylines with this team. And by the way, I'm looking forward to seeing what instruments you guys bring out to the games. That'll be fun.
So Andy Slater, I'm glad you brought that up. Andy Slater tweeted out which instruments are legal. Let me see here. I don't know some of these, Solana. Some of these are very Latin. The buleador, you know what that is, Solana?
I don't know what you just said.
Buleador.
At least he admits it.
Looks like some sort of drum.
Okay.
Nope. Solana, you don't know?
No. I mean, it just looks like a conga drum.
Kind of, yeah, right?
Yeah.
That would be mine. That would be mine.
Maracas. Maracas are legal to bring. A tambura. Bongos.
Okay.
Claves. What is that? What's that, Solana? It looks like chopsticks to me.
Yeah, claves. I don't know.
Maybe tambourine.
Chopsticks.
Trumpet. You can bring a trumpet. That seems aggressive. A trumpet.
I don't know. You guys need me for this?
Didn't Mr. Met, doesn't he play the trumpet? Isn't that the whole, you know, the... Dun, 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 dun. So we can do that now?
No, I like that they're leaning into this, though. The whole knock on the Marlins or one of them is that, you know, the game day atmosphere, nobody's there. Man, you look at these international baseball games that are there, and the atmosphere is phenomenal. So I love that they're trying to lean into that and see how do we create this atmosphere and throw some stuff at the wall and see what works. I mean, it might end up working. It might end up creating a thing that we've been lacking here. I actually really like it. I like it a lot.
25% of the energy of a World Baseball Classic game at a Marlins game, why not? I'm 100% with you. Just throw everything against the wall, see what works. I got to get a trumpet.
I'm glad that we're ending this interview agreeing, because it just felt
I don't want to end it agreeing. Where is the best place to get a cheesesteak in South Florida? Let's disagree.
I don't know. I don't think I get them here. I can't remember the last one I got here, unless it was in a mall or something.
How can you think your opinion on cheesesteaks is valid? I mean, if you don't even know.
I spent enough time in Philly where I actually went around and taste tested them at a bunch of different places. And by the way,
you're the greeny of this talk show. You're Greenberg.
Massively overrated.
Greeny, you don't know anything about the cheesesteaks. You just opined on cheesesteaks. You don't know anything about them.
You just told me that your opinion on cheesesteaks was formed 30 years ago.
That's right.
Did you say you were in Philly taste testing Philly cheesesteaks?
Yeah, so we went around and we decided we're only going to eat cheesesteaks. We're going to go to as many places as we can. And we just went to a bunch of different places in Reading Terminal Market and found a bunch of good ones. But Pat's and Geno's I was just so massively disappointed with Pat's and Geno's. And I get it. Like,
I like Jim's out of all three. I like Jim's the best.
I actually really like Jim's too. Yeah. Yeah. I like Jim's. The Pat's and Geno's.
Here we go agreeing again. I like it better when we're disagreeing.
Well, I'm trying to lead you into something that you're going to disagree with that's going to make you look really bad, because I know that Pat's and Geno's is overrated. And if you disagree with me on that, then I know that I've got you. So that's why I keep coming back.
I'm out of time, Greeny. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Clay Ferrero from Local 10. Take a break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Can you yodel?
No, I'm black, Hawk.
Hawk and Crowder. We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.